And we're looking at John chapter 16, verses 5 through to 15. So perhaps you'd like to turn to page 105 in the New Testament section of the Bible in front of you. To thank Roy Carcrea for the prayers earlier on, they set the scene very well in that we do long for truth, because with truth comes confidence for life in every area and in every relationship. I told this story once in All Souls, but I'll tell it again. It comes from Reader's Digest, but I can't remember which doctor's waiting room I was in when I first saw it. There was Alexander the Great, Caesar, and Napoleon viewing a military parade in Moscow. Alexander couldn't take his eyes off the tanks. "If I'd had chariots like these," he said, "I could have conquered all Asia." Caesar eyed the missiles. "With such arrows, I could have ruled the world." Napoleon glanced up from a copy of Pravda that he was reading. "With a paper like this," he exclaimed, "no one would have ever heard of Waterloo." Truth. Where is truth? Well, three times in this final speech of Jesus to his disciples, there at the Last Supper, three times he refers to the Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Indeed, if we look at this, which really does contain the teaching of Jesus on the Spirit, we'll notice that he makes two great statements. One about the Spirit being a counselor, a kind of defense lawyer, a comforter, an assurer to the disciples. And the other is this theme of the Spirit of truth. So there in chapter 14 and verse 17, just at the bottom of the previous page, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Chapter 5 and verse 26, "But when the Counselor comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness to me." And then here in chapter 16, "The Spirit of truth," verse 13, "when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth." It's important for the disciples, it would seem, that they understood the role of the Holy Spirit to be the Spirit of truth. And we who follow, I think it's important for us as well. And three things, really, just to highlight from this teaching of Jesus. First is that the Spirit of truth is truth for life. Truth for life. Last Christmas, we had a video bought for us, and it was a compilation of Watch With Mother programs. Now, for those of you who don't know, Watch With Mother was children's programs that were shown in about the 1950s. Things like Andy Pandy, Bill and Ben, The Wooden Tops. See, some of you recognise the names. My dad told me about them. Anyway, my children looked at this video and they said, "Turn it off, Dad, it's awful." I said, "Well, what's wrong with it?" "Well, it's all black and white." And you see, for children whose only experience of television has been colour, black and white is very, very disappointing indeed. But for those of us who started off with black and white, the advent of colour was something quite amazing. To watch a program in colour was something quite amazing. I think there are some people, actually, who live life, as it were, in black and white. A kind of two-dimensional life of the here and now. Or even worse, a one-dimensional life of just the physical realm. That all there is to life is what we see and feel and touch and smell around us. They have no idea of a spiritual realm. They have no idea of a God who has created them and who cares for them and who loves them. No idea at all. But that doesn't mean they're not happy. You see, when you only have black and white television, you're happy with only black and white television. And many people are happy to live without any thought for God in life at all. But God is not. God is not happy for us to live in that two dimension. or in that one dimension. He is not happy for us to live in the black and white without understanding him and his love for us. And so the Spirit of God, whom Jesus in these verses is actually talking about being given to the disciples, is also given for the world. And he's given for the world for life. Because as well as we read there in verse 7, that the Counselor will come, we also read in the next verse, and when he comes, he will convince or convict the world. Not only is he the defense lawyer for the Christian, he is the prosecuting counsel for those who have yet to meet with Jesus Christ. And he prosecutes, he convicts those who are without Christ in three ways. Just read those verses with me, if you would, please. There in verse 8, when he comes, he'll convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe me, of righteousness because I go to the Father, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, the individual parts there are debated over by many of the writers, but the whole is very clear. That God is not content to leave the world without an understanding of who he is. And so he sends his Spirit to his church, that through his church the world might know God and live. That they might be made aware of the state that they are in without God. That they might be aware, first of all, of sin. That actually it's not just breaking the Ten Commandments that is sin, but not believing in Jesus, the one whom God has sent. That also is sin. And the work of the Spirit is to convince people of that. That life lived without reference to Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of life, is sin. It is rebellion against God. But also righteousness. Jesus in his life challenged the false righteousness of many people, supremely of the Pharisees. Many times we read him challenging the righteousness of the Pharisees, those who thought that they could earn a right standing with God, who could, as it were, cancel out all the things they'd done wrong by doing plenty of things right. We're no different. We're no different. We often consider ourselves quite good people. A number of times I've been visiting the family of someone who's died. And they talk in glowing terms of the person. Oh yes, he was very good. Always helping his friends. Always helping his neighbours. And there's never any reference of that person's relationship with God. Or what God might think. We pull the wool over our eyes. And think because amongst ourselves we're all right, I'm as good as the next person, that God judges us in that way. God sees us in that way. But God doesn't. The truth of Scripture is that in God's sight, we are sinners. We are in rebellion against him. We are unrighteous. And Jesus, through his life, pointed people to a new and a greater righteousness that was to be found through him. And when he went away, he sent the Spirit to continue that work. To convince us that the righteousness we build for ourselves is inadequate in the sight of God, and to point us to the righteousness which is ours through the death of Jesus Christ, which is the death in my place as penalty for my sins. The Spirit brings colour into our lives because we begin to understand what is true righteousness in the sight of God. In Jesus Christ. Then also the Spirit convicts the world of judgment. Again, it could mean a number of things. It could mean simply telling us that there is a judgment to come at the end of time and the need to find salvation. Or it could mean showing us that our human judgment is wrong. That is, showing that we are fundamentally wrong in the way that we look at life. And especially in regard to God. That we're fundamentally wrong because we leave God out of the equation of our lives and live, as it were, in that black and white pattern. Now, human judgment is often wrong. So often, our human judgment about things is affected by our pride, our lack of understanding, whatever it may be. It's often wrong. I heard a story once of a rather conceited politician who was given a very long and a very boring speech. And one of his suffering audience could stand it no longer, and a bullet whistled past the politician's ears. The politician sort of looked out and said, I can see that my speech has moved someone in the front row to commit suicide. Unfortunately, he needs an optician. The bullet just missed my ear. Human judgment is often wrong. We fail to see ourselves as God sees us. And the role of the Spirit of Truth is to help us to see ourselves, but even more to see God, so that we might see ourselves. The role of the Spirit of Truth is to bring colour, so that we see what? Not truths, not lots of little parcels of truth, but truth in terms of reality. This is how we are, because this is how the Creator sees us. It is very good, occasionally, to stop and say, how does God, who is my Maker, see me? The Spirit of Truth is there to show us just how God does see us, to bring us to reality about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. And without the Spirit of Truth, we could not see. The role of the Spirit is to help us to see the truth. The aim is not to produce a guilty verdict. The aim of the Spirit of Truth is not to produce a guilty verdict. The verdict of guilty stands on all of us anyway. The role of the Spirit is to stir us to see God and ourselves so that we might long for the mercy of God which is ours in Jesus Christ. His aim is life, not death, as we'll see more with Richard next week. But without the Spirit of Truth, there is no way we can see God. No way we can be drawn to Jesus Christ. No way we can find in Christ forgiveness, acceptance, and righteousness. But how's that going to happen? How's the Spirit of Truth going to work? Some quiet word in our mind while we're walking down Oxford Street? No, he works through the Word of God. He works through the Word of God. Just recently I was listening as a lady who was working with the navigators in the Ivory Coast was being interviewed. And she was telling about the work she'd been doing and how with one lady had expressed some interest in Christian things. And so she sat with that lady reading through and explaining John's Gospel. And she said the Word, as it was opened up, did the work of God, and that lady became a Christian. And then she was telling how she was involved in a prison, a prison working in cells of 30 men who were mentally unstable. Now, I thought that was amazing because there was no way I'd want to go into a situation like that. And she said she'd have a little service there and read the Bible and talk to them from the Bible, but she had no way of knowing actually whether anything was happening. So what did she do? She taught them verses from the Bible. She got them to remember verses from the Bible, and she admitted she used a little bribery with various foodstuffs to do it. But she firmly believed, and I firmly believe, that the Word of God in their minds can actually achieve that work of bringing the truth to life in us. Now, the implications of what Christ is saying about here, of the Spirit of Truth in the world, are many. I want to note just quickly three. First of all, praise that we're not left on our own to find God. If you're here tonight and you're seeking to find God and you're thinking, well, how do I find God? How do I find the truth about God? You're not on your own. The Spirit of Truth is at work. And I suggest you read the Scriptures because that's where the Spirit of Truth works through. He works through the Word of God to teach us. But praise God, we're not left on our own. He has sent His Spirit to find us and draw us to Himself. And then recognition. those of us who are Christians, that it is not we who convert people. We do not bring people to Christ. It's the Spirit of God who does that. We are used, but it's the Spirit who convicts people of their need, of their sin, and of the righteousness of Christ. And then thirdly, to pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit will work his work. Do you ever look at some of your friends or your colleagues and think, there is no way that they're ever going to find Christ? They are hopeless cases. God knows no hopeless cases. Paul, the apostle, might have appeared a hopeless case when he was setting out to Damascus to persecute the church. Not so to God. There are no hopeless cases. And prayer is a tremendous weapon in bringing people to Christ and seeing the Spirit of God work through the Word. Truth for life. And then secondly, the Spirit of truth brings truth from Christ. And here we move on into verses 12 to 15, where Jesus says the Spirit will declare the things that are to come. Verse 13. And also he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Verses 14 and 15. Now by the things that are to come, I think we can take Jesus' meaning that the Christian system, the new age that Christ himself has brought in. But the emphasis is upon the Spirit taking the things of Christ and teaching them to the disciples. Now note here, first of all, he's speaking to this group of 12 specially selected men. Actually, he's only speaking to 11 of them by now, isn't he? Yes. But he's speaking to this group of specially selected, chosen people. Those who've been with him from the beginning of his ministry and with him right to the end. He's speaking to them. It's very, very specific. And the promise is there in verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And underline that word, all. What was to be given to them was a full, total, complete revelation of the things of Christ. Spoken, so therefore verbal revelation. In order that they might be, as we read from that passage in Ephesians chapter 2, the foundation of the church of Jesus Christ. To them was revealed the truth in order that through them we who follow might know the truth of Jesus Christ. But it is specific to them. It is specific to them. They were to be the foundation of the doctrine and teaching of the church of Jesus Christ. We have that foundation for us in the pages of Scripture. The Spirit of truth, the breath of God. Now it's very interesting as we look through Scripture to see how Spirit can be translated breath, because in both Hebrew and Greek it's the same word for breath and spirit. And see how breath is associated with word and spirit is therefore associated with word. The Bible is important because the Spirit of truth, who is the inspirer of the Word of God, is the one who continues to illuminate for us that Word of God, bringing truth through these apostles to the church through the ages. And that's why Peter and John in their epistles were very eager that people should know the truth and should hold to the truth and follow the truth and be in the way of the truth. All these phrases from the letters of these two who were here to there to hear Jesus describe the Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Now that has some implications for the Bible. And that has the implications for the Bible that what we have in Scripture is the truth. It is not going to lead us into error. It's the full truth. It's the total and final revelation. And it's relevant to us. But we're here tonight looking at the Spirit of truth. And we have to say, well, what does that then say to us about the Spirit of truth? I think it says to us specifically that we're actually wrong if we look for the Spirit to lead us into some new revelation of God. If we're looking for the Spirit to lead us into some new teaching about God, some new understanding about God that has never been heard, seen before, then we're wrong, because the full and final revelation has been given to these apostles for the church. Now, it's not unusual today to hear people talking about catching the way the wind of the Spirit is going, or hearing what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I actually find that very difficult to understand. What on earth do people mean by hearing what the Spirit is saying to the churches? See, the Holy Spirit is God. It seems to me from Scripture, God doesn't change. So surely what God, the Holy Spirit, is saying to the church is what God, the Holy Spirit, has been saying to the church all the way through the centuries. And the Spirit is blowing in the church in the same way that the Spirit has always been blowing in the church. In terms of salvation, bringing people into a right relationship with God, and sanctification, making people obedient to the truth of God in the Scripture. There's nothing new in that. But in every generation, and we're no different, in every generation, there's always a desire for new things, for new teachings, for new truths, for new words from God. Now, friends, don't be in any doubt. God speaks today. I'm in no doubt about that, that God speaks to us today. And God speaks to us today through the Spirit of truth. And God teaches us today and speaks to us today the things of Christ. But he speaks to us today what he has already given to us in the Scripture. There is going to be no new revelation. There's going to be no new revelation. The Spirit having led the apostles into all the truth, what more can there be if you have all the truth? Unless it's error and fallacy and that which is not truth. And the search for the new very often leads us away from the truth rather than to the truth. The Spirit of truth was the inspiration for the apostles, for the Scriptures. And the Spirit of truth illuminates those who follow these apostles. But for one, it was inspiration. For us, it is illumination from the Scriptures which was given through them for us. We need to take those Scriptures. We need to open those Scriptures. We need to sit with the Word of God and let the Word of God and the Spirit of God in us mediate those Scriptures to our hearts. Sometimes I hear people talking about Bible reading and saying, well, you know, you can have so many words and so many readings and so many teachings from the Bible. It can all become rather dull and rather boring. My friends, I raise the question, isn't it arrogant to call the Word of God, the living Word of God, dull and boring? The Spirit of truth in the Word of God. I cannot see how we can separate. I cannot see how we can separate the truth. We cannot say this is the work of the Spirit and this is the Word of God. We cannot separate them. And Jesus is here very much tying them together. And the apostles saw that. I have no doubt that the apostles saw that themselves. People like Peter who were there. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. You have been born anew. How are you born anew? By the Spirit? You've been born anew, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and abiding Word of God. Jesus says you're born anew by the Spirit. The tie is very strong, very close. And we, as we read the Word of God, to seek the illumination of the Spirit of God, that God might speak the things of Christ through the Spirit of truth to our hearts, and then to obey them. Truth for life, truth from Christ, and just finally, quickly, truth to Christ. The Spirit of truth, Jesus says, will lead us back to him. Look again at verse 13. I think there's some important words that I almost missed. And very often I think we do. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority. He will not speak on his own authority. There's no independence here. But that actually mirrors the Son, who came to do the will of the Father. There is no independence there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one together. There is no independence. There is no Spirit leading us one way while Jesus Christ is leading us another. That's impossible. It seems to me today that so many whims, urges, ideas, thoughts are put down to the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Spirit led me. A clergyman friend of mine was once told by some members of his congregation, oh, God told us not to come to church this morning. To which his reply was, well, then you obviously know a different God to the one I know. As if the Spirit is going to lead us away from the body of Christ. The Spirit leads us to Jesus Christ. And in this way, Jesus says, he will glorify me. Verse 14. And nothing brings more glory to Christ than for the follower to be steeped in the truths of Christ. And to be obedient to those truths. The Spirit of truth can only and will only echo the teachings of Jesus Christ. He will only lead us back to Jesus Christ. He will only bind us more and more into Christ. He will only work to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. And it's to those teachings of Christ that we have to subject every urge that we would say is of the Spirit of God. Truth for life, truth from Christ, and truth for Christ. In one way, as we look at the passage, I think it's quite obvious. But I wonder how many of us, before tonight, if we were asked, what is the role of the Holy Spirit, would have described him as the Spirit of truth. But here is Jesus, and I said at the beginning, he uses those two terms in these teachings about the Holy Spirit, Counselor and Spirit of Truth. And it seems to me that Jesus puts a great emphasis, therefore, and says this is important, that we recognize that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Truth. I hope we can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Let's pause to pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for your gift of the Holy Spirit. Praise you that your Spirit dwells in all of us who believe, that without him we cannot say Jesus is Lord. Help us to work with your Spirit that he may lead us into truth, that he may take what you have given to your church and teach it to us, and he would create obedience and a likeness to yourself in us, that your concerns may be our concerns, your life our life, day by day, for your glory. Amen.